Let's start what we have come into the room to do. Right on. Here goes. One, two, three.
Hello, Ann Arbor and the world. This is WCBN FM Ann Arbor, and this is It's Hot in Here. I am one of your hosts, Jennifer Johnson.
And I am your other host, Andrea Krause.
And unfortunately, all you out here can't see Andrea, but she is rocking a lovely new haircut.
Yeah, it was my first time cutting my hair in a year. Had to happen.
Yeah. Sounds like a serious moment in a person's life.
That's right.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be bringing you all kinds of great stuff. We're going to have an interview with two students from the Native American Students Association here at the University of Michigan who are going to be telling us about this weekend's powwow, actually the 42nd annual powwow. And afterwards, we'll be hearing from two law students who will be telling us a little more about the Divest and Invest campaign, which you may have been hearing about. It's created a lot of buzz on campus. That's right. But first, I actually want to make an announcement and congratulations to the NCAA Men's Gymnastics Championships for holding their first ever zero waste landfill championship finals next weekend here at the University of Michigan. So that means, in case you're wondering, that 90% of all of the concessions that are sold are going to be diverted from landfill and are either going to be recycled or, even better, composted.
Wow.
So I had the opportunity to sit down with Ian Makowski, a master's student at the School of Natural Resources, and actually now also the Ross School of Business. He was recently admitted, so he's now an herb student. But yeah, I got to sit down with him, and he's been working on this for a few months now, and he was able to give me a little bit of information about what exactly the Zero Waste campaign entailed.
And silly thing. Is Ian Makowski the awesome dude who did a handstand in the studio?
He did a handstand here last September.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So keep that in mind.
Yes.
All beverages will be in recyclable cups. All food that's purchased, the packaging will either be recyclable or compostable. Got rid of those sugar packets. Finally, we've got just a sugar shaker, which is... seems like an obvious thing, but it's amazing how you got to work out those details. So.
Yeah, and who has been working out those details?
It's been a pretty broad, concerted effort. Everyone from events and operations to the planning staff for national championship event to Student Sustainability Initiative. We've partnered with MSAS, which is Michigan Student Athletes for Sustainability. It's been a pretty broad effort, and it's been awesome to see so many people be excited to get involved and to use this to kind of send a message. So it's exciting.
You said you're going to have a pretty big volunteer base at the games as well. Could you talk to us about that?
Sure. So once you've even figured out which concessions Sodexo is going to carry, one of the other really challenging parts of implementing the zero waste is making sure that the signage is correct, making sure that there are people standing at the recycling and composting stations, kind of helping fans work through where their items go, and then also kind of explain a little bit more about why we're doing this. So very excited. There's been a great volunteer response, and should be good.
That's exciting. And
Fred Oklahoma.
So yeah, Ian Makowski and all of the other volunteers, congratulations for pulling this off. And for those of you out there that want to attend the Men's Gymnastics Championships, they're actually for the first time at the University of Michigan in 40 years. So that's pretty exciting. And apparently, an insider tells me, the University of Michigan has a really good chance of taking away the gold, I guess. I don't know if there is there gold. Winning it all.
Yes.
Exactly.
Wow.
So that's going to be going on April 10th, 11th, and 12th at the Chrysler Center.
Wow. So you can get all your men's pommel horse in and not feel guilty. You can put sugar in your coffee if you care to and not waste the packets. That's really clever.
It is.
And a lot of hard work.
It really is. And that's what Ian really kept telling me, that it's, you know, it seems so simple, but a lot of these things really do take a lot of working out. So for those of you interested in learning more, you can find the complete interview on our website, hotinhere.us. It's a 10-minute long interview in which Ian delves a little more into detail about what exactly it took to pull this together. Another thing he mentions, which I think is worth mentioning is that right now Ohio State is beating us in terms of zero waste sports events. So they're doing much better, and apparently the University of Michigan has some catching up to do.
Gotta step it up. Little rivalry.
All right, so after the next song, we'll be hearing from the Native American Student Association. And to transition to that, we're going to play a song called the Prayer Loop Song by an artist who's actually a Native artist and apparently has been also creating a lot of buzz in the music world lately and has been named MTV's Artist of the Year or something like that. Yeah. So here we go with Superman Prayer Loop Song.
Drop the kids off and go party, gets me mad. So I pray, pray for peace, to pray for change. Keep on praying when everything stays the same. And I pray for the pastors and all of the churches and those who cry lights on following hearses. I pray for you, pray for the sick and the poor. Pray for the rich man who don't give to the Lord. And I pray for wisdom and I pray for power. And I pray for being ready in the final hour. And I pray for those who keep judging ministry. And I pray for my friends and my enemies.
I really like this guy.
Yeah, I want to hear a lot more.
Superman.
So in the studio, we have Hayden Hedman and Brittany Anstead, which are both members of the Native American Student Association here, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. And Brittany, you've joined us in the past, which is pretty exciting. We're happy to have you back again.
Thank you.
So can you guys tell us a little bit about the powwow that is happening this weekend and maybe even give us a little bit of a history of past powwows that were organized here?
Okay. Well, the powwow this weekend is Saturday and Sunday, all day. Doors open at 10:30 in the morning.
That's a reasonable time. I like that.
But it doesn't actually start until noon. So a powwow is a gathering of sorts. It's kind of like a family reunion. You go and, like, you see aunts and uncles you haven't seen in a while. You see people who, what we call, travel the powwow trail, which means they go to different powwows every weekend. There's always a powwow somewhere. And so it's really nice and fun. But powwows also are consistent of dancing, drumming, and vendors who sell food and arts and crafts. So for the dancing and drumming, typically you have competition. So you have powwow athletes who compete all the time in competition. And the types of dancing, they're varied type of dancing for men and women, but pretty much any powwow you go to across the country, that style of dancing is going to be pretty consistent.
Wow. Yeah.
That's so great. Are you guys going to be dancing or playing music at all?
No.
No, we're just volunteering and help running it.
Yeah, I do dance, but... The students run this powwow.
Okay.
To give a history about this. So, I mean, this is a very, very big event. It's one of the biggest diversity events at the University of Michigan.
Wow.
Yeah, and so this is all ran by students, which is a huge undertaking to do. So we have a pretty big job this weekend to get it all going.
Has it been the dance for Mother Earth since the very beginning, 42 years ago?
I assume so.
Okay.
So, disclaimer, me and Hayden are not from Michigan. He's from Colorado, and I'm from North Carolina. So we come from different tribes, different tribal areas. So we don't know as much about the history, but we do know that the powwow has been ran by the students. I'm pretty sure it's been called Dance for Mother Earth Powwow for a pretty long time now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And also, historically, it's important to note that the powwow used to be on campus, and just recently it got moved off campus. So we're hoping to get as much attention so we could get this institutionalized and come back to on campus for the whole community.
Why was, do you know why it was moved off campus?
There are various reasons to this. I think it's internal politics. But the as students and being in a small organization, there's maybe about 12 or 15 of us. So it's a lot to plan the powwow, plan all of the events during Native American Heritage Month. We really need a staff member to assist us. And so we're trying to institutionalize the powwow so that as far as like the budget, obtaining a venue, all of that stuff is handled by an actual faculty or staff member, not by students who are just trying to graduate.
Right. Yeah, as if you don't have a million other things going on.
That's right, a powwow.
And I was reading that you guys are actually collaborating with EMU, Eastern Michigan University, on this too?
Yes. So at first, we were going to hold the powwow at EMU. But there was a couple of complications for both of us. So then we decided to have it here in Ann Arbor at Skyline High School. So,
great. Has it been cool working with students from EMU on this? I mean, have you gotten to meet new people?
Yeah, it has been cool. Each person within NASA here has a different job, so some people have had more interaction than others. But it's pretty cool that, like, no matter what university you go to, if there are Native students there, you just click. I don't know why. But it's...
Even at Michigan State.
Yeah, even at Michigan State, they're pretty cool.
We're all one community.
Great. Well, I definitely want to hear a lot more about this community and a little bit more about what NASA does. But first, I want to play one of the songs that you shared with me, Hayden. And I'm not sure if this is the accurate name. It's the Idaho Powwow song from Thunder Hill.
Yeah, Southern style.
Okay. Yeah. So let's hear a little bit of that.
Oklahoma proud. Sing for the Sooners. Oh,
All right, this is It's Hot in Here. Brittany, when you were describing all the fantastic events and opportunities and delicious things you can enjoy at the upcoming powwow at Skyline High School this weekend.
Yes.
You mentioned that the dancing, there will be dance competitions and that they will be fairly consistent across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems surprising to me because I would imagine that each different group would have its own dance traditions. What's going on?
So, at powwows, the dancing style is consistent, meaning that it's across all of Indian country. It's kind of like a mainstream event. It's like mm-hmm. a competition. The same thing as going to a rodeo or an ice skating event.
Or men's gymnastics.
It's an event where you're competing. And so in order for people to judge you, you have to do something that's pretty consistent across the board.
Okay.
But powwow dancing is very different than having your own tribal cultural dances and songs, mm-hmm. which are in your own language, and it's very specific to the region that your tribe is from.
Uh-huh.
And Hayden, you were mentioning that powwow sort of rose as almost kind of a post-colonial thing?
Yeah, a lot of it's kind of to bring together all the First Nations, and we're not just talking about the United States, we're mm-hmm. talking about our friends and family up north and down south, and you'll see people just come together, and just like Brittany said at the beginning, it's you see old friends, you see old family, and then you always meet someone new that you're going to remember. It's a welcoming, and it's just a community family environment, too.
That sounds so great.
Mm-hmm.
So can you fill us in a little? So you said there'll be music, there'll be dancing. What are some of the other activities that people can expect?
So the highlight of the powwow, if you don't think the dancing and drumming is a highlight, is that we are having a hand drum contest. So usually drums consist of like 4 to 15 guys sitting around a drum. And the song you heard is like a group of guys singing around one drum.
Uh-huh.
But hand drum contest is a single drum and one person sings. And usually it's a love song. So like halfway through it, they'll speak in English and sing about how some girl broke their heart or to win someone over. We also have a switch dance, which is where girls and guys switch regalias and compete in the opposite category.
Oh, how fun.
So this is pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
And then we have a native bling contest. You come with your beaded medallion or your earrings or your turquoise and show it off.
I love that like reinvigoration of longer traditions in the contemporary moment. That's really cool.
Yeah,
indigenizing.
Exactly. Oh, also.
And the walk.
Yeah.
We got the model session.
Yeah, I almost forgot. The big event is the fashion show.
Wow.
So Dr. Jessica Metcalf, she's the creator of Beyond Buckskin. You should definitely look it up. She's becoming pretty big now, pretty famous. But she designs contemporary clothing with an indigenous influence.
Uh-huh.
So she wants to promote that, yes, it is okay to, incorporate native style into clothing, because you have these other brands, these mainstream brands that feel like they're ripping off native clothing styles.
Yeah.
So she's trying to do it in a respective way to say that, yes, we are including this into contemporary style clothing.
Mm-hmm.
But so her fashion show, she's incorporating other designers, other Native American designers. So me and Hayden are
modeling. I hear
the models.
Yep.
Oh,
yes.
That's exciting. Have you been working on your struts?
Not yet.
I need to watch.
You got a whole day.
Yeah, we do.
Hayden, I feel like you've been practicing.
Yeah, I've seen Zoolander.
There's got to be some tutorials on YouTube, but then you can give it your own flair, obviously. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And that is Saturday from 3:30 to 4:30.
Is there a place where one could get a schedule of these great events?
Yes. So there is a website. Go to www.umich.edu, and the flyer will be posted. There's also admission. So it is $7 with the student ID and $10 without.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an all-day event. So I definitely suggest going early so you get your money's worth and, you can enjoy the fashion show, the bling contest, the whole shebang.
Oh, that's exciting.
Absolutely. Let's hear another song, which Hayden sent my way. Okay, so I don't know if this is the artist, 22 Fourth Door, or Perhaps not. But it's called Grandfather, You Have Pleased Me. That is the name of the song.
Okay, yeah, that one.
So,
I like grandfathers.
Pila maya, pila maya, pila maya, lo, hey, 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 toka shila, pila maya, lo, hey, 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 hey. We chose aniwa, maya kucha, pila maya, lo, hey, 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 toka shila, pila maya, lo, hey, 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 pila maya, pila maya, pila maya, lo, hey, 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 toka shila, pila maya, lo, hey, 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 wo ke ye wa maya kucha. Pila mayelo, hey, 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 toka shila, pila mayelo, hey, 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 pila maye, pila maye, pila mayelo, hey, 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 toka shila.
This is It's Hot in Here, and we are here with Hayden Hedman and Brittany Anstead talking about the upcoming powwow this weekend at Skyline High School.
Dance for Mother Earth.
That's right. So Hayden and Brittany, you've both grown up in different parts of the United States, Hayden in Colorado, Brittany in North Carolina. And you said you were just telling me that powwows were a big part of growing up and the things that you did with your family at home. Can you talk to us a little bit about what the powwows back home are like?
So we kind of already talked about how they're very similar. And we're not saying that you go from North Carolina and you go to Colorado and, yeah, you're in a different state, but you're going to recognize a lot of things. But if you're familiar with powwows, you'll notice those little things that are different. Like you go to the fry bread stand, and the fry bread's probably going to taste different. Even from Southern California all the way up to like Northern, like close to Nebraska, like you'll taste a different style of fry bread. And that's also what's cool, because every tribe and every group and every region is going to say theirs is usually the best. And whether you're into...
My mouth is already watering.
Yeah, if you're into the kind of like really greasy, like really thick and floury, or if you want the kind of more crispy, like hard, like everyone's got their style.
Is it literally like deep fried bread, or what is it?
Basically, it's like funnel cake, if you've ever had funnel cake.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah, very
but also
starchy.
Like savory. Can
yeah.
Be.
Oh, it's glorious.
My friend Rachel used to make biscuits and chocolate gravy. Have you ever had that?
Oh no!
Oh my god,
delicious.
It's amazing.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to distract. I don't think that will be at Skyline High School this weekend, but maybe I'll get that recipe. We can make it next week on the show. Just do a little cooking show. So the food, the taste and the flavors that are represented that way will change.
And also the crafts, you'll notice different types of crafts and jewelry, mm-hmm. depending on where, like which tribes in that area will usually be vendors. And, mm-hmm. and you'll just notice kind of regional differences. But other than that, you're still in the community. And it's very much the same, like just the same energy and everything else, too.
Yeah. Yeah, for instance, I went to Colorado, to Denver for a conference. Both of us did, actually. Yep. The ACES conference, American Indian Science and Engineering Society. But they held a powwow, and I had never seen the potato dance. And I was like, I go to powwows all over the East Coast. How come I've never seen this? But you get a partner, and you hold a potato in between your foreheads, like... Yes, with your foreheads.
Is and this a man and a woman situation?
Yeah,
oh, very romantic.
Very romantic, very close. And you dance until the last person standing with a potato between their head.
How fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Do you have to sign up for that or get a little audience participation?
You just go in there.
Oh my gosh. Let's go to Denver. I would like to do the potato dance.
Well, Hayden and Brittany, thank you so much for coming in today and getting us all excited about the powwow. I really can't wait to see. Hopefully I can go, but hopefully there'll be lots of pictures afterward, too, that you can share.
I have sort of a big question.
Oh, okay.
Which is, why is it Mother Earth? Mm. Any ideas? I should have prepared you for this question.
Well, I mean, across, like... And I call it Indian country, but I mean the U.S., Canada, everywhere. Mm-hmm. Typically, like, your indigenous belief, like, it's different for each tribe, each area, but you respect the earth.
Yes.
And so when you dance, you're not dancing to just do it or get attention or show off your bling. Like, you do it because you're so appreciative for the air, for the land, for the water, for the people. You dance because you are thankful for the drummers. So... it's a dance for Mother Earth powwow because you are dancing for everything that you have. So you're supposed to dance from the heart and not, you know, for the competition.
Oh, I love that.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
And also to go along with the season, because it's spring and things are starting to come out and grow and we're finally getting a little bit warmer here and Earth Day is coming up. So it kind of goes along with everything that's going on right now, too.
Yeah, it seems the first one would have coincided with the first kind of early Earth Day movements that started here at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, probably is linked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So check it out starting this weekend. Events start at noon, but doors open at 10:30 at Skyline.
powwow.umich.edu if you want to know more.
Check it out.
And now we'll go out with another song that Hayden sent my way. And again, thank you, Brittany, Hayden. It was a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Three contest songs. Good luck, girls.
Ah!
Hey, that was fun.
It sure was. We are now going to switch gears and talk about something that has been, yeah, just a lot of people have been talking about this at the University of Michigan's campus, about the Divest and Invest campaign. And here with me are Jacob Barty and Laura Hobbs, which are both law students, I believe. Nope, wrong. One person is a law student?
Yeah, I'm an undergrad.
Oh, you're an undergrad. Okay.
Oh, Laura, you're so cool.
Thanks.
Like,
guys.
I'm just going to be super involved in high level stuff. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
So, Divest and Invest, is this a club and a concept?
Yeah, it is. So Divest and Invest is really a coalition of students and student orgs here on campus dedicated to the idea of divestment from fossil fuels here at U of M.
Mm-hmm. So what does that entail? What is divestment?
So I should say that I'm a law student, not an expert on things like divestment specifically, but what we're actually asking for
As a law student, you have to hedge your bets. I see what you're doing here.
That's exactly right. basically what we're asking for is a consideration of how much money university has invested in certain kinds of companies and whether it would be appropriate to remove some of that money from those investments.
Whoa, how sensible.
That's right.
Is it tough to get at the root of that kind of, even to access that information?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, there's a lot of scientific data, so it's hard as a law student to stand up and be taken seriously when we talk about scientific data.
It shouldn't be.
You would think. In terms of the policy issue, I think that what we're asking for is reasonable. We're just asking for a look at this. Whether divestment itself is appropriate or how it would be done would be a question for the committee that was formed.
Mm-hmm. The whole go blue, think green, sit in a commons that's covered in oil money. Can be strange feeling. Maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
And we're talking about a lot of money here, right? I was reading that the University of Michigan has the 8th largest endowment in the United States.
Yeah, so the U of M endowment is about $8 billion.
Which we benefit from and we love.
Yeah, definitely. The endowment is a great thing. It funds countless programs, projects here on campus, offers scholarships to students. You know, it's a great thing. And we're not arguing that at all. Interestingly, the university has about $1 billion of that money tied up in the fossil fuel industry, indirectly and directly. So we're also talking about a lot of money invested in fossil fuels.
What was the total endowment again?
The endowment is $8 billion.
$8 billion. Mm-hmm. So yeah, whatever percent that is.
Yeah.
Over 10% is directly or indirectly related to fossil fuels.
Yeah. Which is not an insignificant number if you're looking at that from a carbon perspective, the amount of carbon that can actually be emitted into the atmosphere. U of M accounts for a lot of carbon as well. You know, there's the figure that we can only reach about 400 parts per million before we will reach the 2 degrees Celsius threshold for climate change, and U of M can really put us close to that threshold just if you're looking at the companies that we have invested in these industries.
So there is a big potential for impact in the bottom line of the companies that U of M is supporting with, or that U of M is investing in.
I think that it's important to look at the strategy of divestment in general. So divestment is not intended to bankrupt the companies that we're invested in. It's really a statement that the university can make saying, you know, if it's wrong to wreck our climate, it's wrong to profit from that wreckage. So it's really aligning the mission of the university with its actions. So no, this won't have a big impact on the bottom line of these companies, but it really is the university taking a big stand saying that this is not something that we're going to profit off of.
Are there any particular corporations that are kind of, that we're holding, that makes up a substantial portion of that endowment?
Yeah, so of the percentage of the endowment that was disclosed, which only makes up about 47% of the endowment overall, we're invested in companies like British Petroleum, uh-huh. TransCanada, Shell, all those companies.
All the hits, all the big
yeah,
ones.
Yeah. The celebrities of the fossil fuel industry, if you will.
I like that. And don't like it at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Simultaneously, let's listen to a tune, perhaps. Andrea informed me she's been listening to a lot of excellent music lately. So what is this one?
This one is actually by Ana Tijoux. She is a Chilean French rapper. And this is called Sacar la Voz, which means bring out your voice.
Yes.
Respirar para sacar la voz, despegar tan lejos como un águila veloz. Respirar un futuro esplendor, cobra más sentido si lo creamos los dos. Liberarse de todo el pudor, tomar de las riendas, no rendirse al opresor. Caminar erguido sin temor, respirar y sacar la voz. Los bolsillos vacíos, los labios partidos, la piel con escama cada vez que miro hacia el vacío, las suelas gastadas, las manos atadas, la puerta de entrada siempre tuvo el cartel que dijo que estaba cerrada, una espina clavada, una herida infectada, entramada, una rabia colmada en el todo y en la nada, el paso torpe al borde sin acorde cada vez que pierdo el norte, tengo la pérdida del soporte, el tiempo que clava me traba, la daga me mata, filuda la flama sin calma que de las manos se me escapa, pero tengo mi rincón florido, sacar la voz, no estoy sola, estoy conmigo. Liberarse de todo el pudor, tomar de las riendas, no rendirse al opresor, caminar erguido sin temor, respirar y sacar la voz. Estaban quebrados, el mirar encorvado, el puño cerrado. No tengo nada, pero nada suma en este charco. Mandíbula marcada, palabra preparada, cada letra afilada hasta la cresta de la oleada. Sin pena ni gloria, escribir esta historia. El tema no es caerse, levantarse es la victoria. Venir de vuelta, abrir la puerta, estar resuelta, estar alerta. Sacar la voz que estaba muerta y hacer la orquesta. Caminar, seguro, libre, sin temor, respirar.
So at the break, I realized I have no idea what an endowment is. So I think it's donations to the university, because this is a great university. We love it. We're benefiting from it. But then what? So it's not the shells that are giving us this money necessarily. What happens?
No. So yes, you're right. The money is donated to the university, and okay. The university is then investing that money in these companies to, you know, make more money for the university, which is a good thing.
Yeah. So they've been kind of proven to be financially viable or good investments so far.
You know, it's
hard to... If you don't account for the long-term effects of doing such a thing.
Right. It's hard to pinpoint the success of the endowment on any one industry.
Mm-hmm.
But the endowment in general, yes, has had great return on investment, and the university and its students have benefited a lot from that too.
Right. And I guess that's going back to what you said a second ago. It's also hard to quantify what the long-term effects of that, not just in terms of even, you know, monetary value, but image and, well, you know, are certain donations not coming through because the University of Michigan potentially has money invested in some of these companies?
Huh. Yeah, definitely. Divesting really is addressing those external costs of where this money is being invested. And so it, like I said earlier, is aligning the university's investments with more of those external costs that aren't being factored in right now.
But are sort of being factored in terms of the mission statement and the values that the university is purporting to support.
Definitely. I mean, the university spends hundreds of millions of dollars every year on climate research,
mm-hmm.
Programs for students. It would make sense that money would come from, you know, climate sensitive institutions as well.
Absolutely. Right.
So, Jacob, I understand you're part of the Law Students for Responsible Divestment from Fossil Fuels, and that you guys actually came together and drafted a proposal which you presented to the Board of Regents on March 20th.
That's right.
Could you talk to us a little bit about what that what the proposal and presented?
Sure. I mean, one thing I would say from the beginning is that one way that the LSRD differs from Divest and Invest is that our ask is much smaller. Where we're at right now is we spent a lot of time looking at the history of divestment at the University of Michigan. And twice before, U of M has divested, once from tobacco companies and once from companies that did business with the apartheid regime in South Africa.
And sensible choices.
Yes. And so looking at those, what happened in those two instances, we were able to sort of tease out a procedure for determining when it's appropriate for a committee to be formed to consider this issue of divestment. So that's where we're at right now in our proposals. We're just saying, hey, isn't this worth looking at? This is an issue that there's got to be a broadly and consistently held consensus on in campus in order for this proposal to be taken seriously. We understand that SKIP data, which is a survey that's done, will be available within the next week or so. We expect it to show that well over 90% of students and faculty believe that climate change is an important issue. And so that's basically where we're at right now. We're not necessarily asking for a specific number. We're naming specific companies. We're just asking for a close look at this issue.
Interesting. I'm finding it really interesting the way your two organizations, or the coalition that mm-hmm. you're in, and then, the law students organization work together. I know this a lot about NGOs, at least. You have to have, your environmental defense funds, who are all about sort of working with businesses. And then you also have to have your green pieces, which are more about, pressuring. And they actually need to work together to get those results and change some of the business practices out there too. So I'm hearing a little bit of a similar thing here too, where it's
yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been really great working with Law Students for Responsible Divestment because they provide an invaluable resource to us. And yes, we can provide the pressure on the administration, and we're students, we can learn about the issues as well. But this proposal really it's rock solid when it comes to talking the language of the administration and really laying out, based on past precedent, why divestment is a responsible choice in this instance.
I hear that Dr. Rebecca Hardin, professor at the School of Natural Resources and Environment and frequent co-host on this show, is actually on the phone. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, folks. I just had to call in because it's such a fantastic show and the conversation is so interesting. I wanted to just thank the students and the hosts in the show today for giving us such a great example of a particular kind of activism where you're working on where you live and not trying to go out and fix the problems of the world in someone else's backyard, but trying to be the change. I just think it's really exciting, and the tunes have also been fantastic.
We could thank Andrea for that. She is rocking it.
Oh, my. That's all I have to say. I just am so excited. I mean, I was a college student in, the 80s, and I was camping out on my college green in mock shanty towns about apartheid and, working with students of color, and it was a whole different issue, but it was a great way to work on those issues where we lived and not be thinking that we had some kind of an invitation from South Africa itself to go fix things that weren't really, about us ultimately, but we could fix something about it where we lived and studied, and I just think it's a really commendable way to go about these changes.
Oh, thank you so much, Rebecca. That means a lot. It means
the
world.
Rock on, it's hot in here.
and you rock on wherever you will be.
I'm at the STEM Africa Conference, of course, as we announced last week. And let me tell you, we are also making some really cool recommendations for changing the face of education in Africa on issues around sustainability and energy, too. So, I mean, there are a lot of people on the African continent also working on their own educational institutions and their own communities in this way, and it adds up, I hope. I think we're really, everybody's working where they live increasingly to address these issues in technology and energy and economies. So it's very exciting to think from the conference where we're talking today to stream your show and hear those conversations. I just wanted to thank you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Wow.
Okay. Well, have a good show.
Thanks, Rebecca. Our hearts are warm now.
Yeah. So warm. I think this is a good point to go to another tune, which is also by Ana Tijoux, and it's called Las Cosas por Su Nombre, which is a saying in Spanish, which is call things by their name. Call it what it is.
Yeah.
sin tapujo. Tenemos trajes sin etiqueta, pero se vende lujo. El garabato lustrado, el insulto marcado. El Manuel de Carreño se borró de este lado. Ni tu ministerio, ni monasterio, ni dinero. Que por cierto, viene de nuestros impuestos. Todo es compituto con estatuto.
Ojo con caer mal, Ana.
Que puedes perder tributo. Caer bien por caer bien, no decir lo que piensas porque te pueden demoler. Vivir con miedo a la mierda, ni chicha ni limonada. Esa cosa light con sabor a nada, nata cortada, no cabe de entrada. A la mierda, a la con, a la chu. Tenemos el rosario más perfecto, las cosas por su nombre. A la mierda, a la con, a la chu. Tenemos el rosario más perfecto, las cosas por su nombre. No te gusta la gente rara. A mí no me gustan los homofóbicos con cara de nada. El amor es libre, ¿sabías? Por lo menos eso nos queda. O mi abuela decía que mejor estar sola que mal acompañada, rodeada de gente buena onda que no quiere romper platos. Las cosas por su nombre, ni fu ni fa. Aquí la verdad, la buena onda, no cabe más. Que si tu ministerio dice que no tengo proyección artística, ahora te puedes comer completa mi proyección lingüística. Que tenga cuidado que se van a cerrar las puertas, pero seamos claros, nunca estuvieron abiertas. A la mierda, a la con, a la chu. Tenemos el rosario más perfecto, las cosas por su nombre. A la mierda, a la con, a la chu. Tenemos el rosario más perfecto, las cosas por su nombre.
So tell it like it is.
That's right.
In my English.
Yeah. So, Jacob, you were telling us a little bit about how you said that the proposal was presented and things are moving forward. Talks are being held.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. We're right now just trying to reach out all across the campus. We're looking for other similar organizations in the other grad schools. We feel like Divest and Invest has a pretty well locked down on the undergraduate side. So if there's anybody out there who's a part of an organization that we haven't talked to yet, we hope that you'll reach out to us, and you can get to us through the Divest and Invest website. Right now we're just talking to as many professors and students. We spoke with a gentleman at the Graham Sustainability Institute the other day and gave us some really good advice moving forward. So that's where we're at right now. We're just gathering information and gathering allies.
That's wonderful. I would love for the business school to get involved in this because, like you said, it's not just Divest, it's Divest and Invest. So somehow, you know, the returns still need to come from this endowment to fund the wonderful scholarships and research that's being done at the school. So it'd be really great to, like you said, get sort of an interdisciplinary team going and, like, what's the alternative?
Absolutely.
And Laura, you were saying that this movement is actually part of a broader national movement across college campuses. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So the coalition here on U of M is really strong as well. We have about 30 partner orgs signed onto our campaign in support of it. We have over 650 petition signers, and we're always looking for more students to get involved. So like Jacob said, go to our website, divestum.org, for more information on that. But divestment in general is a national campaign. There's over 400 campuses nationwide that are pushing divestment at their own universities. There are a handful of universities that have made the commitment to divesting, some larger schools, including San Francisco State University, which is a public school just like us. So it's very encouraging to see this national movement, and there's definitely a network of students and leaders in this movement working together to reach that goal.
It's beautiful. I just want to read the mission statement of the University of Michigan so we can see how this divestment fits in. The mission of the University of Michigan is to serve the people of Michigan and the world through preeminence in creating, communicating, preserving, and applying knowledge, art, and academic values, and in developing future leaders and citizens who will challenge the present and enrich the future, which is exactly what I see both of you doing. And the actual Divest Invest concept and campaign, challenge the present.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a really cool thing that's going on with the climate movement right now. It's people are realizing that it reaches a much broader group of people. I mean, it's not just about the conservation biology anymore. It's about the human impact. And like the caller said earlier, this is really about, you know, Southeast Michigan. It's about Detroit. It's about Ann Arbor. Healthy communities and healthy people. And so, you know, the fossil fuel industry is really having a physical health impact on our community, among all the other negative impacts it's having. So let's work as students, as professors, as engaged human beings to sort of just start addressing those problems that are hitting home.
Wow. If our listeners want to become more involved, how can we do that? Well, I'm taking notes right now, so if you have a pen
good,
or pencil.
Good. Yeah, I expect you guys at the next meeting. we'll be taking attendance.
Okay, good.
So definitely check out our website, divestum.org. Mm-hmm. You can sign on to our newsletter there that we send out about once a week. That'll give you more information about what we're doing. For example, this Saturday, we're hosting a toxic tour of Detroit. We're taking 50 students, not just students, I should say, 50 people from U of M, down to Detroit to see some really interesting places like the Packard plant and the Marathon refinery. So things like that will be in the newsletter. We have meetings on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. in the Dana building on Central Campus. There's a petition that you can sign, which is also on our website, reaching out to law students for responsible divestment from professional schools, telling them you want to get involved. I mean, it's really just, you know, raising your voice and saying, hey, this is something I want to get involved with.
How great that this is an issue that campus units and departments across this whole campus, both north and south or central, can get involved in. Has that been exciting to work with people that you may not have ever met before?
Absolutely. I mean, from the very beginning of my involvement with Divest and Invest, there's always been at least one or two students from their group talking with our group whenever we have meetings. We were recently granted official status as a student org at the law school, so we can finally...
Hey, congratulations!
Thank you. Send emails out and stuff officially. It's been fascinating to work alongside the undergrads on this issue. They've been a part of everything that we've been doing from the very beginning, giving us a lot of really good information, a lot of good motivation, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have to say, the I don't know if all undergraduates are like this, but the ones that have come on this show, and they must all be, it's fabulous. Some of the most dedicated, energetic, articulated. See, you lose your articulation once you continue on the ranks. People I've ever met in my life, and it actually gives hope. that the cynicism perhaps you get after several more years in school is actually not warranted.
It's a beautiful thing working together with undergrads and the grad students, because, like, you know, obviously you're working really hard, you're doing all this really great stuff as an undergrad, but you just maybe haven't had the years to be able to do something like draft a proposal.
it's really unbelievable to be able to work with grad students and faculty, for that matter. I mean, it holds everybody accountable. There's just an amazing dialogue that happens that we wouldn't have if we were just sort of staying within our own respective colleges. So I'm not going to speak for you, Jacob, but I've loved it. I think it's really fun. I'm learning so much from it.
Absolutely.
It's the Michigan difference.
That is the Michigan difference. And thank goodness for Michigan democracy, where you can attempt to hold your university liable.
For sure.
Accountable.
And I encourage everybody, including myself, I want to read up about this a lot more. I have a lot of questions about it, because obviously when you divest, it also frees up shares for other companies to buy.
Definitely.
And that raises a whole lot of other questions. But I love that this dialogue is happening and that so many people at the University of Michigan are involved in learning a lot through it.
I'm going to sign this petition at divestum.org. Oh, I'm going to do that right now.
Great.
So any final words? Maybe we can go out on a tune if we're ready for that. This is the Wall Street Shuffle by 10cc, which my dad turned me on to this tune during the stock market turbulence. He would blast this so loud at home. And I think it made him feel better. So stay cool when your index is low, Ann Arbor. Thank you to everyone who's joined us today.
Thank you, Gus.
Thank you to Gus Turner, our engineer, and to his brother Clem for holding it down in the engineering booth. We love it. This is actually Horace Andy, maybe. Money's Root of All. It's not? Oh. It sounds- sounds okay. Anyway, we're going to enjoy this. This might not be the Jack
Whatever
Johnson
it
version,
is, just
but
enjoy.
We're going to love it. Have a great weekend, Ann Arbor and the world. This is WCBN FM Ann Arbor. Thank you.